The OTV Sports app. Listen, watch, read, all in one place. Wherever you are, we're always with you. The OTV Sports app. Available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Deal or no deal with Steve-O coming your way at 9:40, where we get the best of the transfer tittle-tattle and give it a credibility rating. It's 10 out of 10 for the credibility rating of Daniel Harris's knowledge at the moment. Daniel, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How's it going?
You've been way ahead of the Jadon Sancho curve the whole time. I'm not going to, you know, it would be rude as a journalist to ask a fellow journalist your sources, but who are your sources, Daniel? Who are they?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you or something like that. Is that what people say in these circumstances? I'm not sure. But I guess, like, because it's not my job to get stories and speculate particularly, it means that I only have to publish the ones that I'm certain about. So, I've been told, like, through the course of the season that that deal would happen provided United got in the Champions League, because the other two clubs who had shown significant interest were Liverpool and Real Madrid, neither of whom had the money or had Sancho as a priority. So once United got in the Champions League, I think because I imagine a lot of the deal had already been discussed, it should, in theory, not take long to actually do the deal. Although United generally do try and drag their feet, it doesn't look like this is going to happen here, because they know what the price of the player is and they decided they want the player. And actually, I imagine that they see Jadon Sancho as someone quite crucial for them commercially as well. Because if you think back to the dog days of Wayne Rooney towards the end of his career, Rooney was obviously finished as an elite level player. But what would happen would be United would need a player to go and do something for their sponsors. And in those days, basically everyone wanted Rooney, because even though Rooney was finished as a footballer, if you think about the players that Van Gaal had and that Mourinho had, then there weren't very many stars until they signed Pogba. Whereas now, if you look at that team, there are a lot of them. So if you're whatever, Mr. Potato Head or Turkish Toilets or whatever it might be, if you were looking at United then, you would always ask for Rooney. Whereas now, you look at United and you think, well, we could have Marcus Rashford, we could have Jadon Sancho if he arrives, Mason Greenwood is going to be a superstar, Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, there's just so many players. And the amount of money that the club is able to make commercially is significantly contingent on the kind of players that they have who are attractive to sponsors, who people want to be associated with. So I would imagine that Jadon Sancho definitely works for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because he's a high-level player, but I expect it also works quite well for Ed Woodward.
Look, that's really interesting, and obviously that helps grease the wheels, because I was wondering if this was a significant departure from last summer when we saw the opposite, where they were linked with a player, but it dragged on for ages and ages and ages and ages and ages, and eventually they did spend the whole amount of money that Harry Maguire would have cost them at the start of the transfer season, transfer window, and I just wondered if this was a maturing of the back-end processes.
I think Borussia Dortmund saying it has to be done by now or it's not happening probably has a greater effect on that, because, I mean, I think back to other times when that happened. It happened with Dimitar Berbatov. United spent the whole summer trying to buy him and trying to get him for less than what they've been told by Daniel Levy the price was, and ended up having to basically steal him from the airport in order to pay the same price. And what you end up with then is you end up sticking Berbatov into the team. He's not settled in Manchester, probably. I don't know if that was a problem for him, but the players weren't used to playing with him, and he was quite a different kind of player to the players that had been in that team previously. And it took time, and it never quite worked out with Berbatov, even though he was good, but he wasn't as good as people hoped he was going to be. And I'm sure it wasn't just because he didn't start brilliantly, but it does make a big difference, particularly with strikers and attackers, that it's not the same in every case. Andy Cole is one who took a long time to get going. But mainly the ones that have succeeded, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Ronaldo, Dwight York, turned it on pretty much from the beginning. And part of that is the ability to get used to playing with the players if you can. And I think that Sancho is a different kind of right winger to the one United have had, mainly because they haven't had one, really, a proper one, since Nani left. And they've got settled now playing with Mason Greenwood on the right, and he's really a wide attacker. He's looking to get to goal as fast as he can. And Sancho is something different, and the players are going to need to make different runs for Sancho because he likes to hang on to the ball a little bit longer than Greenwood, who is trying to get shot off, more or less. And he's trickier than Greenwood, and he's more likely to go on the outside than Greenwood. And getting used to where you need to be takes time.
Daniel, what do a club like Manchester United look at in terms of commercial attractiveness in a player like Jadon Sancho, other than the fact that he's unbelievably good at football?
I think that is a big part of it, being unbelievably good at football. Because if you look at someone like Messi, who is unbelievably good at football, doesn't seem like a particularly interesting personality, I doubt he is wanting for sponsorship deals. I'm sure that is absolutely fine. So being good at football will always be the main thing. I think what you're also looking for, though, is competitive charisma. Players who play with swagger, who play with intensity, who are entertaining to watch and fun to watch. And I also think increasingly you want highlights reel players, because that is how people are starting to consume football, and definitely how younger people are starting to consume football. Not all of them, but there are plenty of people, and hundreds of thousands and probably millions of people, who will watch the best bits of a game rather than the entire game. So when you watch the best bits of a game, who is going to be active in those best bits? And Jadon Sancho is exactly that kind of player, because he's extremely skillful and he's a lot of fun to watch, and he plays with a lot of joy. And that is the kind of thing that people want as much of as possible. And so I think it's more like that. Same with Paul Pogba. He's great to watch when he's on form. He doesn't mess about with... How would I phrase this with Paul Pogba? The things of which he is capable are stupendous. And because of that, you keep your eyes on him. And I think that even when he doesn't produce, there's always the prospect that he might. And I think that is the kind of thing that excites people.
OTBM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. We're talking with Daniel Harris about the situation at Manchester United and the signing of Jadon Sancho. Is spending this money on Jadon Sancho this early in the transfer window a sign that there is more business to be done, or is this the end of the business?
I doubt this is the end of the business. I'm not sure how much there will be done after that. I guess as a United supporter, I was hoping for three players. I felt like they were always going to sign Sancho. And now, assuming that happens, I'd be hoping for a centre-back and a midfield player to play with Pogba and Fernandes. I would expect them to get a centre-back. Whether they can stretch to a midfield player, I don't know. It might depend on sales. It's possible also that they might decide that they'd prefer to sign another striker than a midfield player. To me, that would be a mistake. I don't think Sancho will be it, but I don't think they'll be spending that sort of money on someone else. It probably depends a bit on who they sell to. So they've got Sanchez off the wage bill, which is good. But the deal that they thought they were doing with Roma for Smalling seems to have fallen through. Perhaps someone else will buy Smalling. Someone else should buy Smalling. Smalling's a good player. And I'm surprised that Roma haven't found the money, because when you have a player who's doing well for you, it seems silly to say, we don't want more of that, we'll try and find someone else. But I think that they will sign centre-back. I don't know if the stories about them talking to Gabriel are true. They seem to be quite well-sourced, and there seem to be quite a lot of them. And United are looking for a left-sided centre-back, so I'd say there's a fair chance that's happening. I've been told that Upamecano was at the top of their list, but he signed for Leipzig, so they're not buying him. So I think that what will end up happening is whoever the centre-back is, it will be a punt, in a way that Eric Bailly was a punt and Victor Lindelof was a punt, because there are players who cost a kind of middling range of money, where you hope that the player will work, but you don't look too stupid if they don't. And I think part of the reason for that is just that if someone gave you unlimited amount of money to go and buy a centre-back, who would you buy? And you can't get Virgil van Dijk out of Liverpool. And after him, there aren't that many players who are obviously excellent, who you know will be good enough to play at the top level. It's just, I think one of the reasons why people get so calmly excited about Van Dijk is just aren't very many good centre-backs around at the moment. And so finding a centre-back, you're never quite sure, because it's not as much about obvious talent as playing in a lot of other positions, like Jadon Sancho. You look at him play, okay, I get it. You can see it, and he's done it in the German League, and it seems unlikely that English fullbacks are going to be so much better that they're going to stop him doing it in England. Whereas if you play centre-back, what the demands in England are slightly different. But also, it takes time to mature as a centre-back. You tend not to see players in their teens and their early 20s being good enough to play centre-back at the top level. Even Rio Ferdinand, who is a natural defender and a natural footballer, he didn't get really good till he was 23, 24. And that's what you need from centre-back. And particularly if it's a centre-back who's getting used to playing a slightly higher standard of football. And so if you sign someone from Ligue 1, then they might be a good player, but ultimately the standard is not as high as it is in the Premier League. And although the standard is not uniformly high in the Premier League, the top two English clubs are amongst the best clubs in the world, if not the best clubs in the world. And every player in the English league, pretty much, every team in the English league has at least one player that can really hurt you, one player of proper class, and some have more. So the ability of someone to step up, and then the ability also of someone to cope with the pressure of playing every game when you're expected to win, and also to play games where you might not see very much of the ball, so you need to keep focused, is a different skill from commandeering regular rear guards where you're just chucking yourself in front of things. So I think that whichever centre-back it is will be some kind of speculation, and probably for not that much money, because which centre-back would you go and pay 80 million quid for?
Yeah. I don't know. Is there any chance that Smalling comes back to the club and wins a position in the team?
Unlikely, I think, because once a decision has been made of that sort, it's unlikely that decision will get changed. As it happens, I think Smalling is a better defender than Lindelof. He's certainly more physical and better in a rear guard. He's not as good on the ball as Lindelof, but Lindelof isn't so good on the ball that you'd say that is more important than being able to defend. I think that he probably matches Maguire better because he's got recovery pace, so he can be covered in a way that Maguire can't. And I think that is probably one of the reasons United want a left-sided centre-back, because if United get a left-sided centre-back, then it means Maguire can play on the right. And it means that you will have, let's assume that the centre-back that they buy has that recovery pace, then you've got Maguire on the other side, he's playing as a right centre-back, you've got Wan-Bissaka covering him, and he also has legs and pace. And at the moment, Maguire's playing on the left, so if someone gets in behind him, then Luke Shaw might have to cover, and Luke Shaw doesn't have the kind of recovery pace that Wan-Bissaka has. So I doubt it will be Smalling, but I absolutely think that Smalling is better than Lindelof.
Okay. Just to go back to the signing of Sancho, who's losing out, or how does this work? Is it actually no one loses out and they all play the same number of games, or is there now a first choice front three and Greenwood is back to being relief because he's still very young and so you're not going to play him 60 games next season because it's too soon, too early for him?
No, I don't think it will be like that. I think that the likelihood is that Sancho will play most of the big games on the right. But otherwise, then you've got Martial and Greenwood competing to play centre-forwards. And you've also got the Champions League. So in the UEFA Cup this season, United were able to basically change most of the players because the teams that you play in the groups of the UEFA are so crap that you would expect to beat them whatever happens. In Champions League, that's not going to happen. So you're playing weekend, midweek. And as Fergie always said, there's plenty of games to go around. It'll get to some big games, and I guess some players will be disappointed, but I doubt that it will always be Sancho, Martial, Rashford in every big game because Greenwood's too good. And I kind of always assume that eventually Greenwood will be too good not to just play at centre forward the whole time, except Martial looks like he's made that last step where he's actually now a serious player. So what we saw at the end of the season was that United's front three and Bruno Fernandes were exhausted. And you need to make sure that doesn't happen. And the way you make sure that doesn't happen is by making changes, because Ole knew that he needed to win most of the post-lockdown games to get in the top four. And what he found was that when it came to it, he didn't trust almost anything that he had on the bench. So even when you've got Rashford blowing out his arse or just not playing particularly well, because he didn't play well in the last couple of games, Solskjaer didn't want to bring on Mata or Ighalo or Lingard, and with good reason. Whereas now, you've always got, assuming everyone's fit, you've always got at least one change that will seriously give the opposition something different to think about. Because it's not just about having numbers, but it's about having different options. And so if you've got to spend 75 minutes facing Jadon Sancho, who's trying to go on the outside, and then for the last 15 or the last 20, you've got to face Mason Greenwood, that's going to ask you a very different question, and vice versa. Or if you bring Greenwood on up front instead of Martial, or with Martial, then all of a sudden there are two centre-forwards there. And it's often options that are the most important thing to take advantage of tired defenders, where suddenly they've got to do something different. But they've been defending the box for an hour and a half, for almost an hour and a half, and the minds are tired and the legs are tired. And you need that variety so that the opposition have to think about something different. They have to do something different, and they might not be capable. And you also need weight and numbers, which can also in the end make a difference, where there's just so many strikers on the pitch that when the ball goes in the box, there aren't enough defenders to pick them up, or no one knows who's meant to be picking up who. And that's also really important. So I had previously thought that I would sign a midfield player and a centre-back and then deal with someone signing a winger subsequent to that. But actually, I think that United are probably unlikely to win the league next season. So signing a player as good as Sancho, who will make a significant attacking difference, is probably the right move, actually.
Is the sense, Daniel, that everybody will be happy with that arrangement up front? Because it does seem that there have been positive sounds on that front, with Marcus Rashford at the start of the season just gone, being pretty happy to be shunted out to the left to get the best out of Martial through the middle. That does bode well for adding another player into that party.
I think Rashford's found his position. I think Martial's found his position. And for that, players deserve credit because they've taken to it. But I think Solskjaer deserves a lot of credit as well, because what he did with Martial was he started to take away his excuses. Because the thing with Martial was he's an excellent finisher, but he didn't have the intensity or the inclination to get into positions to score enough goals enough of the time. So he would kind of linger on the left wing and he would try and receive the ball standing still. And then if the ball came across from the other side or someone shot, he would most of the time not be chasing in at the back post. So what Solskjaer did was he put him in the middle because he's a good finisher, because he holds the ball up better than Rashford as well. And it's worked really well. Like, his collection of goals this season is remarkably good. And if he starts, and there's still improvements, because if he starts scoring a few more tap-ins, then you're talking about someone who won't score 20 goals, score 30 goals. And he looks now like an all-round striker, and he looks like he's making the right runs. Because even at the beginning, when Van Gaal signed him, he played up front for a lot of the first season. He didn't make a centre-forward's runs. He scored goals because he was really talented. But what he's doing now is his positioning is better, his hold-up play is better, the runs that he's making are better. And in fairness, the players around him are a whole lot better, and the team's a whole lot better, and the manager's better. So all of those other things are contributing as well. So I think that him and Rashford have both found their positions. And what we've seen with Rashford, particularly after lockdown, is that he perhaps spending a little bit too much time playing really wide. But I think that's partly because United are trying to get Greenwood as close to goal as possible, and they don't want a man on each touchline and someone in the middle, because you need a little bit of connectivity between the team. But what we're seeing from Rashford post-lockdown is he's a really excellent passer, and he's almost sometimes a second playmaker after Bruno. And then he's built a nice partnership with Luke Shaw, who's overlapping him and underlapping him. Basically, it's just starting to work like a team's meant to. And that's not something we've said about United for a while, and it feels almost strange to watch it, strange to say it. And there's still a lot of work to do before they get to the level that they need to be. But when a team starts to develop, you can see the partnerships developing in different areas of the pitch. You can see the patterns of play that look familiar. You can see the runs where the players know where the other players are going to be. And we are seeing all of that from United. The question now is, will the board back Ole to take him to the next level? And has Ole got what it takes to reach the next level? Because ultimately, the standards are high. You've got to be as good as Klopp and Guardiola. And if you're not as good as Klopp and Guardiola, then you can still be a really good manager. But in order to win the big pots, that's what's going to have to happen. And that's a very high standard indeed.
Yeah, if you're not as good as them, you need better players and a better collection of players coming through. And, you know, there's no evidence that they have that just yet. So last question for you then. Is it more or less likely that they get Grealish and or somebody at that level, where there's another 60 to, I don't know, maybe it's 50 to 70 million transfer now that the Sancho deal looks like it's on the verge of being done? So essentially, is Jack Grealish off the table at the moment?
I don't think he's necessarily off the table. I doubt they pay 80 million quid for him because he's a player. I mean, they do need another attacking midfield player because if Bruno gets injured, then the midfield is basically, well, it's going to be, it'll be Matic, Pogba, and then McTominay or Fred, which is solid, but it's not as good at picking people apart. I think that the fact that they've now got Sancho is also, he's another playmaker, effectively. He's not a wide attacker like Greenwood or like, say, Mohamed Salah or Mane, who are mainly there to score goals, to come from wide and to get into the box and be harder to pick up that way. He will score goals, but he's also there to create goals and to play make. So they do have a bit more leeway in that area. I wouldn't be paying 80 million quid for Jack Grealish when I could have a Donny van Beek for about half of that, because van de Beek is a slightly different player to Grealish. Grealish ultimately is a playmaker and scorer. He's there. He's spent half the season playing on the left wing. I think he's excellent. I think he's got the right mentality to play for United, although he'll probably need to curtail some of his off-field indulgences. But I think that van de Beek is more an all-round midfield player. Like, you wouldn't have to play him in attacking midfield. You could play him in some games. You could play him in front of the back four. In other games, you could play him slightly further forward. And that is more the kind of midfield player that I think United need, rather than someone who, like Grealish, who ultimately he's just an alternative to Bruno Fernandes. Although United do need one, I think they have other significant needs before that.
You'd also be paying the English tax, where it's an English qualified player signing for Manchester United.
And I mean, the advantage of signing someone like Grealish is you know that he can do it in the Premier League, because we've seen. And the thing for me with Grealish is the positions that he plays are not areas that I think are the most important for United. And that's not because I don't think United need another attacking midfield player, because we saw at the end of the season that they do. But as I said, they've kind of addressed that with Sancho, because he can take on some of the playmaking duties. And suddenly with Sancho, you look at United and if you're an opposition, you think, who do we mark? Because when Bruno Fernandes signed and Pogba was injured, other teams could think, in theory, well, if you double up on Fernandes, if you stop Fernandes, you more or less stop United. And that isn't the case anymore. So I think that with Sancho as well, I definitely wouldn't go for Grealish before I went for a midfield player who could play deeper, and I went for a centre-back, and I'd probably sign a left-back. I definitely would at least think about signing a left-back before I sign Grealish as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Daniel Harris, great to have you with us this morning. Thanks a million.
See you again, lads. Have a good day.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like, I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Steve, good morning to you.
Morning, Ger. Morning, Owen.
You're on the rack today. You've got to tell us whether or not there's any credibility about the rumours that we're hearing.
Questioning my credibility, I think, Ger.
Big shoes to fill. Phil Egan and various others. Even Nathan has managed to come out of this unscathed. So let's get started. Manchester United. We're starting with an easy one. Man United are close to agreeing personal terms in principle for a 5-year contract with Jadon Sancho, as discussions continue at an advanced stage with Borussia Dortmund over the structure of the transfer fee. The end of a very long-running saga. It turns out they've been having these conversations for about 6 months at least. Will Jadon Sancho be the man to kick Manchester United on next season? How will his arrival impact Mason Greenwood's progress?
He's competition for Mason Greenwood, isn't he? And that's what a club like Manchester United expect to have, I suppose, at their peak, when they had the likes of Andy Cole, Dwight York, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Teddy Sheringham all competing for, at one of their peaks under Alex Ferguson, battling for a place there. And you know, United have always been a club with exciting attacking players. And to say that, well, they're not going to sign him just because it might put the noses out of joint of Marcus Rashford and Mason Greenwood and Jesse Lingard, some of those young players, Jesse not so young anymore. But I just think it's exactly the kind of player United want to sign, exactly the kind of competition that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will want to see in his squad for next season. He's obviously got Anthony Martial there as his lead striker as well. So he's also giving himself the options of having a couple of players maybe he can play in the attacking three behind the main striker. We know Rashford can flip between two roles. Sancho, we know, can play on both wings. Daniel James is there. He can play in both wings as well. Martial, if needs be, he can drop from main striker to left winger. So they've got a number of options then if they bring in a player like Jadon Sancho. And look, he's proved himself. He left Manchester City under a cloud. They brought him in. They've invested a lot of money for a young player of his age at the time from Watford, and it didn't go to plan. And it was because he was such a hungry player. He wanted to get games with Manchester City. He was promised time in the senior squad. I know there was a falling out then. He didn't turn up for training, and perhaps that was just, you know, the folly of youth. He made a bad mistake. He shouldn't have done that. But I suppose it does indicate the kind of hunger and desire that he has to compete at the top level and to do well. And he's gone on to Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah,
absolutely. He went to Borussia Dortmund. He won his place there. He's scored in double figures over the last couple of seasons. His assists have been excellent. And in a league which is of a high standard, you know. So I definitely think this is a great deal for Manchester United. And it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
It is without doubt going to happen. Now, the other thing, just an interesting aside here, Ger. I know there's going to be talk of a certain goalkeeper perhaps in the next couple of minutes, but I just think it's interesting to see the players that Manchester United are signing. And I've been on speaking to you before about Jack Grealish and how reluctant I would have been to say that he will sign for United. But the more I think about it, in the context of what's going to happen with the Premier League over the next season and a half, we know the whole Brexit thing is going to have an impact on the Premier League, and the FA have already spoken about bringing in new rules with regards to the amount of homegrown players that Premier League clubs must have in the squad. And it's just interesting to see United's transfer policy. They seem to be going for a lot of England, either internationals or prospective internationals. They've got a squad there of a lot of English players. Like, you look along the back line, they've got right back in Wan-Bissaka, left back in Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, centre half. They've got Scott McTominay, who qualifies as a homegrown player. Then their front line, then Marcus Rashford, Mason Greenwood, Daniel James, bringing in Jadon Sancho. I think this is interesting if you look at it in that context.
Yeah, look, it's a good point. And it kind of brings me nicely to... So the goalkeeper, the issue that we're talking about here is rumours about perhaps Kasper Schmeichel being one of their targets. He's 33 at this stage. Obviously, a long history with the club. There's that famous footage of himself and who was the kid? Who was the other kid? Was it Alex Bruce?
No,
yes,
it was
Alex Bruce, wasn't it?
I thought it was Tom Ince, wasn't it?
Maybe it was Tom Ince. It could have been all three of them playing football as kids, yeah, celebrating their father's success. So this is pretty interesting. He clearly has the self confidence to play for. Is he good enough?
Oh, absolutely. He's been one of the best and most consistent keepers in the Premier League over a number of seasons now for Leicester City. I was just checking his stats there over the last few. Like, he's got incredible statistics over the last. I think he was definitely among the top clean sheets for last season. I was trying to pick that out individually, but his record over the last few seasons has been excellent. He's been the spine of that Leicester City team, the team that won the title. So he's got league title winning experience. He's played now in the Champions League with Leicester City, so he's got that experience as well. As you say, he's 33 years of age, so he's not going to be a first choice. I would imagine if a player like him, I'd imagine he does get quite angry with reporters when they start bringing up his dad, and he doesn't like those comparisons. And I can understand that he wanted to carve out his own career without any comparisons to his dad. But I think it might be a nice bookend to his career to finish off at the club where his dad had so much success, and possibly to compete for that number one role, because he will end up playing in the Champions League with Manchester United this season. And they will be competing for the Premier League title. I'm not sure Leicester City definitely aren't going to be in the Champions League. They're going to be in the Europa League. Whether they're going to challenge for the Premier League title next season, I'm not so sure if they can do as well as they did last season, especially if they have a bit of a clear. There's talks of Ben Chilwell going to Chelsea. If he's gone, that'll be a big blow for them. So I just don't know if Brendan Rodgers can get that Leicester City team competing for the Premier League as well as they did last season. So if you're Casper Schmeichel, you're 33 years of age.
Now's the time.
Now's the time to get a swan song.
Give me a credibility. Give me a credibility rating out of 10.
I think this could be a 7.
Okay. We've got to talk briefly about Chris Smalling here. We've done a bit on Chris Smalling a little bit earlier on. The view earlier was that once you're out, you're out. But he's played really well. He's only 30. He is English, as you're saying. So the value of him and what he's done at Roma has suddenly come up a little bit. There's a possibility that they might try and use him in a make-weight deal for Skriniar at Inter. Yeah. What? Give me the most likely scenario here. Smalling back at United and still there next season. Smalling at Roma at a cut down, almost nothing fee because they don't want to pay any money for him. And that might just be negotiations, or he is actually something that Inter go, yeah, we'll take him.
Yeah, well, there seems to be a number of clubs in Italy, and even Juventus have been linked with Chris Smalling. I think he was one of those players where Solskjaer was praised for the big clear out at Manchester United, that he got rid of a lot of dead wood over the last 12 to 18 months. I think Chris Smalling was one of those players. He just doesn't want to have him back. Himself alongside Phil Jones would be two of the most maligned players at Old Trafford. I just can't see, despite the fact that he is in England international, former England international, he's an English player, I just don't think he's got that quality that Solskjaer needs. It's one of the areas of the field where he needs to strengthen, not just to bulk up. He needs to actually get better players in that position, not just have squad players in that position. The feeling at Roma was he was playing in a back three at Roma, in the heart of that Roma defence. They conceded 55 goals in Serie A last season, which was pretty poor. Roma at the moment as well are up for sale, so they're a club in a bit of flux at the moment. I think that Milan Skriniar would be the better option. I will totally admit, I haven't seen a huge amount of him playing for Internazionale this season. I did actually see him playing in person, would you believe, Ger? I went over to see Inter play against Barcelona in the Champions League last December, and I have to say, he didn't stand out one bit. Barcelona played a second-string team. They won 2-1. It was a nothing group game. It was the sixth group game of the campaign. So, you know, they were dead and buried at that stage. But he is very highly rated. He's only 25 years of age, so just coming into his peak years. And if you're going to have a couple of overseas players in your squad, what I've read about him, he's very highly rated. And Inter as well had the best defensive record in Serie A last season, 36 goals they've only conceded. They were best defence by a long shot. So I think bringing in, if you're going to, I think Skriniar would probably be the better option there for United.
Okay.
Try and use Smalling in it, make weight. Perhaps maybe send to Juventus and use that money to buy Skriniar.
Okay, so give me out of 10. Likelihood of Skriniar being at United for the start of the season or by the end of the transfer window?
I'm going to give that one a 9, I think.
All right. All right, so you think it's very likely. Okay. Let's move on to Liverpool. Thiago Alcantara. Apparently, Liverpool have moved ahead of Paris Saint-Germain and are now very likely. This has been bubbling away for quite some time. Not somebody that everybody agrees is ready-made for Liverpool. On one side, I think John Giles was like, why do they need him? And then I think Kenny was like, absolutely get him in. Maybe I've misrepresented Kenny, I'm not sure, but certainly there's a debate to be had about this. Is he going to improve Liverpool, and is this definitely going to happen?
Yeah, it's a funny one because he's a playmaker, isn't he? I'm not sure if he's got that. I suppose when we think about the Liverpool team under Jurgen Klopp, very energetic, pacey kind of style, attacking style, and I don't know if he's that kind of player that you would expect to slot in there. Then again, we've seen Klopp buying players that you wondered about, the likes of Andy Robertson and Gini Wijnaldum, even going back to, you know, players like those who you maybe wondered would they slot into a kind of a Klopp system. But, you know, he was able to, Klopp is all about coaching, isn't he? And he's able to coach players into playing the way he wants them to play. So if Klopp feels Thiago is the kind of player that he needs, I'm kind of curious about just his age. Like, he's 29, he's pushing 30 years of age. Liverpool have a few players like that, Jordan Henderson, Wijnaldum, we've already mentioned. And I just wonder, are they, you know, maybe they should be looking at younger players. But look, it does seem like it's, you know, all the reports around Europe. I know Raphael Honigstein has been talking about the Sky Sports, that he believes it's a deal that's been on the verge of being done. So I definitely have to give this a 10 out of 10.
OK. All right. Let's talk briefly about Arsenal. So Arteta is apparently targeting Sevilla's 27-year-old Brazilian centre-back, Diego Carlos, in talks, apparently personally, with even Rakitic, even though Rakitic is 32. But you can see how somebody like Rakitic would certainly bring a little bit of stability to that midfield. Apparently they're also interested in Zaha, who's 27 and probably is less expensive this year than he would have been in previous years because there's a bit less hype about him. Willian is obviously available on a free and they'd have to give him a 3-year contract despite the fact he's 31. Coutinho, we know there's some cut price loan deal on the table, and Thomas Partey they've also been linked with. So a huge amount at the moment. Given the progress Arteta is making, should the board just back him and give him whatever he wants?
Well, look, they didn't qualify for the Champions League, which is a disaster. If you're trying to dip into the transfer market, we know, say, you look at Manchester United, they've had their debt problems, but they've qualified for the Champions League now, so they can start making deals, even paying them off over a couple of seasons in the hope that they will qualify for the Champions League for the next couple of seasons. Arsenal aren't there yet, but they do need to invest in players maybe who have that experience of playing in the Champions League and who can possibly help them mount some sort of a title challenge or even to get into the top four, to get into the Champions League for subsequent seasons. So I can see why they're going down the route of perhaps getting a few more experienced players. Like there was talk of Bellerin, who's only 25. He was maybe looking elsewhere. If he sees them bringing in experienced players like the likes of Willian Amarte from Atletico Madrid, he might start going, well, I'll hang around maybe for another season. The likes of Kieran Tierney, we've seen how brilliant he can be. He started to do really well. So the younger players like that, Callum Chambers as well at the back, Rob Holding, who maybe needs some experience around them. Granit Xhaka, even to a certain extent, he's still young enough. Lucas Torreira as well. So I think Willian is just a no-brainer. Get him in, give him the 3-year contract. I've seen him playing in Paris, Jared. This guy is just so fit for a 31-year-old. He's definitely got 3 seasons in him. I think the likes of Amarte, absolutely, he's a really steady, that kind of gritty kind of player that Arsenal probably needs, regards to Diego, the young Sevilla centre back, I don't know. Is he going to bring that kind of experience that they need? But I definitely think the likes of Willian. Who else did you mention?
Rakitic. There was another player.
Rakitic, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant footballer, really experienced. He's played for Barcelona in the Champions League. Absolutely. If you can get these kind of players, Coutinho's another one as well for Arsenal. I think if they're looking at their budget, if they get Coutinho in the loan deal, absolutely go for it. Try and get him in, even get him in on a season loan with a view to buy once that's over. Coutinho's 28 years of age. He's still got a good 4 or 5 seasons in him. Willian's not going to cost a huge amount as regards to transfer fees and that kind of thing.
Yeah. You can transform the texture of the squad and the dressing room and the atmosphere in the dressing room by signing Rakitic, Coutinho and a couple of others, Willian, who are old and have experience, and actually give those young players a little bit of steeliness. Oh, and I know we've been talking about the Alexis Sanchez to Manchester United and the amount of money that they paid, and Coutinho, he's a replacement for Mesut Ozil, he would be getting the same amount of money. But actually, on a loan deal, if it doesn't work out, you just cut your losses and it's fine. So as an Arsenal fan, would you feel a little bit happier with that, and that actually maybe this is one of those risks that you just need to take if you're going to try and escalate yourselves back into that top four?
I would have thought so. I'm not sure if I'm with Steve on the Willian thing, though. I think the 3-year contract is a bit of a stretch, to be honest. No guarantees that at 34 years of age, Willian will still be value for that money. I think that on a one-season deal, it would be a perfect situation for Arsenal. He's probably not going to sign unless he gets a 3-year deal. So that's the risk you're going to take. Obviously, with the Coutinho situation, there was talk of paying a £20 million loan fee. And there was that hilarious story last week that actually Matteo Guendouzi could be offered instead of the £20 million, which would be a win-win-win for Arsenal. If it doesn't come with too much of a financial strain, Philippe Coutinho will be a fantastic asset to that Arsenal squad. My issue with Coutinho is the financial muscle that Arsenal may need to show in order to get him to play even one season. So it won't be as straightforward as a Dani Ceballos move, for example. So that would be the really big concern I have there. And now the Mesut Ozil situation as well, which is Arsenal's version of the Alexis Sanchez contract, except for the fact that Ozil is probably going to milk Arsenal for another year.
Yeah, pay him off. Whatever it takes to pay him off to get him out, to get the bad smell from everybody. That guy's still getting paid more than I am, and he's still sitting at... That doesn't work in a dressing room. Last one, James McCarthy is being linked with Villa, yeah. Leeds, Newcastle and West Ham, apparently. This is from a scenario last season where, we weren't sure if James McCarthy was going to play in the Premier League again. Even at Christmas, he hadn't played that much, and then back in the team, back looking fully fit again. Most of the injury worries behind him. He's only 29. He's got incredible levels of experience. What do you think? Should McCarthy get a move? Do we want him to get a move?
Well, I think it depends with Crystal Palace on what their next step is regards to their manager. I think if Sean Dyche is coming in there instead of Roy Hodgson, if I was James McCarthy, I'd hang around. But if Crystal Palace are keen to sell, I see that they want to recoup their $8 million that they spent on him last summer, which I think is a pretty fair price for an experienced 29-year-old Premier League midfielder. Then you're looking at from the player's perspective. Aston Villa, Leeds United, West Ham. West Ham, I was very impressed with towards the end of last season. Played really good football, got up the table. But then you would think if they're bringing James McCarthy in, that would lead you to believe that they might be offloading Declan Rice. He's going to be in there playing with Suter. Like, West Ham could be a good move. I just don't know if the David Moyes thing is always in the back of my mind, thinking, is this going to go all tits up at some stage, you know? Then you're looking at Aston Villa. I just think Aston Villa are just so flaky still. I'm just concerned. I think they're going to be in another relegation battle next season. If I'm James McCarthy, I want to go play for Marcelo Bielsa, absolutely. And I know Leeds might be struggling next season, and it depends on who they sign and what money they have there to sign players. But just the draw playing for one of the most highly rated coaches in world football, a man who's highly regarded by Pep Guardiola and Klopp and the whole lot of them. I think that would be fascinating for a player of James McCarthy's abilities. And I think he would suit Bielsa team. So, I couldn't say for definite which club he's going to go to, because it seems that there's so many interested in him. But if Crystal Palace want to offload him, he's got some good suitors there. And I think West Ham and Leeds will be good moves. Aston Villa, I'm not so sure about.
Definitely gone from Crystal Palace out of 10.
I've been hearing this for a few weeks now, so I'd say 9 out of 10.
Steve-O, good stuff. That's the end of this week's Deal or No Deal. Today's Deal or No Deal.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
OTB AM. With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.